Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Inflation has slowed to its lowest for 17 months in July due to falling energy prices and a slowdown in food price increases. The Office for National Statistics said that inflation was 6.8% in July, down from 7.9% in June. England are playing Australia in the second semi-final of the Women's World Cup later. England coach Serena Wiegmann says there's more to Australia than one star player.
Yeah, well, of course she's a very good player, so lots of respect. But there's more than Sam Kerr, and because at the end it's always a team performance, and when a team does really well, an individual can do even better.
And finally, if the unpredictability of the Great British Summer is dampening your spirits, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis are inviting members of the public to rent out their California beach house for what they call an unforgettable summer stay. The Hollywood power couple are offering the property in Santa Barbara for up to four people on selected dates, with the promise you'll leave like old buds. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Ricky Williams.
At B&Q, get 3 for 2 on coloured emulsion, including paint mixing, and 4 for 3 on laminate and luxury vinyl click flooring. Shop in-store at DIY.com or via the app. You can do it when you're B&Q it. Exclusions, terms and conditions apply. Ends 21st of August. For full details, see DIY.com. Excludes B&Q locals.
Coming up, the Business Mix Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emmanuel Aiko. The early signs of a heart attack can vary. The most common includes squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, and a sense that something just isn't right. It can be easy to dismiss the early signs of a heart attack, as the symptoms don't always feel severe. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
What's going on, y'all? on the block, you know what I'm saying? Yo, so they came around looking for you the other day.
Word,
bust it.
Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stab somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stab somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. He said, I'm gonna call me now, they blow down my door. Rain you come part you through my window. So they put me in my back the car at the station. From that point on, I reached my destination. Where the destination region out of east attention. With them, look down my pants, look up my bottom. So informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Take them on the city, that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Take them on the city, that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it, boom, boom, damn. So, they got them out, they think they have more power. They want to call me, say they want to want me. For once I use the ones, and now me call me lover. Love who be calling on the ones, tell me. I'm me lover in my heart, down to my belly. Yes, and I'm a stomach, I feel cool and deadly. Yes, the one MC Shine and the one that is snow. Together we all have a Mr. Tornado. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stomach, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take them on the city, say that I'm a stomach, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stomach, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take them on the city, say that I'm a stomach, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. So, listen for me, you better listen for me now. Listen for me, you better listen for me now. Bring me the rock with the microphone, with the rock on steady. You say that I'm a stomach, yeah, the art to cut down. But I'm in and out of the dance, I mean, say where you come from. People, them say you come from Jamaica. But me born and raised in Connecticut, don't know what you know. People are people, man, is all I'm on. Yeah, my shoes are empty, rapping on my toes, just a show. When me a ballin' on the one Toronto. So informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Take them on the city, say that I'm a stormy, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Take them on the city, say that I'm a stormy, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Come with a nice young lady. Intelligent, yes, she drunk all in Ari. If away me go, me never left for a tally. You say that it's snow me, I the rum dance man. Rum it in a dance, I lay in a nation. You never know, say that I'm a snow me, I the boom shaka. Tell me never lay it down flat, and now I'm can't go down. You say that I'm a snow me, I go region at the top. So informer, you know, say that I'm a snow me, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that say that I'm a snow me, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Informer, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Why worry? Why worry? Why worry?
Been sitting around cooling with my dibby dibby girl. Police knock my door, lick up my pal. Rough me up and I can't do a thing. Pick up my line when my telephone ring. Take me to the station, black up my hands. Trail me down cause I'm hanging with the snowman. What I'm gonna do, I'm backed in a trap. Slapped me in the face and took all of my gap. They have no clues and they wanna get warmer. But Sham won't turn informer.
Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a good evening. Welcome to the Business Mix, and my name is Chrissy.
And as always, I am Rachel, and yes, welcome to another Business Mix show on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things UK black business. UK and worldwide, actually, aren't we, Chrissy?
Yes, we're global, darling. We're global, darling. But yes, welcome, one and all. To all our listeners, as always, Rachel, how's your week been? Have you been busy? Have you been hibernating in this cold? Because I know I have.
No, I actually have. I been hibernating. I mean, I've been doing day-to-day normal life. I wish I could be hibernating, to be honest. But no, it's been actually a busy week. Lots happened. I don't think I go out this week, Chrissy. I can't remember if I went anywhere. I don't think so.
I haven't. That's what I'm saying. I'm hibernating.
I didn't go out. I wasn't out this week. No.
Okay. Not out.
No.
Wait, okay.
We'll wait for the festive season.
Yes. Well, I've been hibernating, definitely watching The Crown, catching up with that. If you haven't seen season 5, you better start.
Okay.
So yes, that was been me. And sometimes it's okay. It's okay not to do anything. That's my way of thinking about it, Rachel. Is that an excuse?
We need rest and recuperation.
Absolutely. But not today. Yes. We're not resting today, are we, Rach? We have another fantastic guest.
I'm actually really looking forward to this topic. It's one that's been on the radar for. I've always been talking to you about it, Chris, as you remember, saying we've got to do this. And it kind of just at this time, I don't want to say cost of living crisis. I'm sick of those terms now. But, you know, I even think that's like, you know, that's for the really rich people who are suddenly feeling it. Us mere mortals who have always felt
We've always felt it.
But now it's a no. I think at this time when a lot of people have been a lot more conscious about their spending, about their saving, about their incomes, and as entrepreneurs, a lot of us, we do work freelance, we are self-employed. The financial stability, or should I say sometimes the unknowing of when's that invoice going to be paid, when's this client going to come through. So I think today our show is very much in time and in season
and very relevant.
So today we are talking about ethical debt recovery and how to get that money that you are owed in the nicest way possible without the baseball bat, as our guest quite rightly shared. So we welcome Clayton Cope to the show from PRMS Limited. Welcome, Clayton.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Thank you very much, Chrissy. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Welcome. As Rachel said, we're very much looking forward to diving into this topic. You know, I have a lot of friends that are in business and I'm always at them. Why is this invoice outstanding? What are you going to do about it? So we're looking forward to diving into the topic. But before we do, please tell us about yourself, what you do, and I always say where you come from. So how did you start your business?
Okay, I should say what I do and who I am and where I come from. I'm M. Coke. I am the founder and managing director of PRMS Limited. We are a late payment management, ethical debt recovery company based in the City of London. But I'm from South East London and I'm from Lewisham.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so you said Rachel's a big up Lewisham. So you say ethical. Why do we put the ethical debt collector company in front? Why do you put ethical there? I mean, isn't debt collecting, or what's different about you guys?
I actually don't like the word debt collection. However, the problem is, if you say to somebody, I run a business and that business gets money basically based on invoices that are paid, then what happens? People say, oi, you're a debt collector, ain't you? And that's the really posh ones. That's what they say to you. They basically say that. So I come from a legal background. So the term that we tend to use is debt recovery, as opposed to debt collection.
Yeah.
However, most people in the street and most people who watch Can't Pay will take it away, which a lot of people have watched that and have been inspired by it. And I'll come to that a bit later on. A lot of people take on board the idea that the person is a debt collector. as opposed to a debt recovery person or a late payment management person, which is, I think, a nice posher term for that. So that's who I am. So PRMS was formed in 2002. And now we're in 2022. So it's 20 years.
20 years
in existence now. And next year will be 21 years. And there have been a lot of changes in that time as a business and in relation to the way that debt recovery and debt collection is seen. I mean, when we started in the early 2000s, there was no real debt problem. You know, you could get loans freely. We were still in Europe. Everything was going nicely. Everything was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And money was moving around. And to be honest with you, that was a good time to actually be doing debt recovery.
Because people
had the money to actually pay you.
Absolutely, yeah. So tell us then the different types of clients, I guess, that come to you and kind of at what stage in their cycle of debt recovery do people tend to approach you? Is it kind of like when it's really gone really pear-shaped and they kind of like need someone to step in, or do they kind of come to you from the very beginning? So you kind of like manage an account of invoices perhaps that need paying. Why do you think your clients choose you over any other kind of like debt recovery services?
Okay, those are good questions, very good questions. The first thing is that in terms of debt recovery or debt collection or late payment management, as a business, we tend to concentrate very heavily on the professional side. I mean, in terms of professional services. Mm. So therefore, we tend to attract people who are lawyers, doctors, architects, surveyors, recruitment consultants, estate agents. Those are the people that tend to use our services the most, as long as they are in a position where they have a professional body, or they're in a position where they basically have contracts and so on and so forth. Those are the people that we tend to work with because they tend to be very organized from the get-go. So they are very good to work with. Many years ago, we used to do what we call retail debt recovery, which is individuals and persons to persons. Like, for example, suffer the case not to be so that Chrissy would owe you, Rachel, money. Then at the end of the day, we would probably get involved in that dispute. That would be many years ago. We don't do that type of work anymore. We just do purely commercial debt recovery. Now, the type of clients that we have reflects the type of the outcomes that people are looking for. So, for example, most businesses have a payment system of some sort. So, therefore, effectively, they have an invoicing system, an accounts receivable system. They've got an accounts payable, which is usually in one piece of software. And we'll come back to software and stuff later. And so, therefore, at the end of the day, what will happen is those people will find themselves in a position. They'll issue an invoice, and that invoice needs to be paid within 30 days, usually. Some people have longer payment terms, but most people, it's about 30 days. Now, very few people get paid on 30 days or before 30 days. You know, if people can wait till 30 days, they will wait till that period of time.
Yeah.
And then basically from that period of time onwards, you then obviously start to look for your money. So if somebody, you know, hasn't been paid and it's the 31st day, we wouldn't suggest that you call us at PRMS and sort of, even though you might be desperate because you want to go out tonight or whatever it is you want to do, that's not going to be helpful for you. The whole point is there needs to be a reasonable period of time in order to do so. And you'll get some tips a bit later on as to things that you can do in order to manage that. Why people come to us? I think there are a multitude of reasons why people come to us. I think the main reason is honesty. We're very honest. If you give me a case, Rachel, or you give me a case, Chrissy, I can tell you within 15 minutes whether your case is going to be a runner or not.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess from your experience and what you know, you can kind of pick key pointers out, which will give you a good indication of.
Yeah, and sometimes it's harsh because sometimes even the person who has instructed you, who is your client, isn't always telling the truth.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh. Tell us more. We love like this.
Well, sometimes I'm spilling the beans here. You know.
Wow.
People work on the assumption that, you know, they always say that there's you know, three sides to a story: his, hers, and the truth.
Absolutely. And
with a lot of what we do at PRMS, the reason why it becomes ethical to answer one of your original questions is because it's more of a mediation-based approach. Right. We try to work with both parties in order that basically we can come to a reasonable outcome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Most people in business want to pay because you want to have a good reputation as a payer, because if you get a bad reputation as a payer, people will talk and people will tell people and so on and so forth. And very much like in life, if you've got a bad reputation, it does follow you around.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they do say, you know, that the business of business is people. It's your relationship that you have with people that's going to get you, secure you, and continue the longevity of your business. Well,
most definitely. Because the whole point is that I've been in business 20 years and I've seen some people get up there and I've seen some people crash really badly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll talk about how people's businesses do crash and why they crash as we go along. But most people choose us because we're honest. We really keep it real. And we're bold enough to say to people, are you sure this is exactly what you particularly want? Do you want to spend this money? And do you consider it a good investment? Because what we don't want to do is to take your money and then for you to be sitting in the pub or sitting where in the barbershop or sitting in the beauty salon saying, oh my God, I met this guy called Clayton and they've robbed me and it's all this. It becomes messy.
I was just saying, I can hear the ethics and how ethical you as an organization are just by talking about how you manage and steer these difficult conversations about reclaiming some of that money. So that's what I want to say.
No, and you're absolutely right, Chrissy, because the problem is you have to believe in something. You don't really get into date payments or debt recovery because you want to make a bag of money. If you want to make a lot of money, and this is a tip for anybody who's listening, be lending the money. Don't be chasing the money. If you're lending money, you are in a position to more be able to make money. But the problem is, if you're chasing money, you have to do it because you believe in the cause. You have to believe in that you want to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess you do have to kind of manage those expectations of clients or those who come to you that actually... I mean, I don't know. Do you have like a 100%... 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back, or do you are you open with, like, you know, our success rate is X amount percentage is reclaimed back? How do you, I guess, manage their expectations on what people can expect, to the kind of service, I guess, that people can expect to get?
Well, expectations are everywhere. If you go onto the internet and you see some ladies, they're looking for a 6 foot, 6 pack, 6 figure man.
How did you know, Clayton?
However, statistically speaking, and this is just a complete side issue, there are only a small percentage of men that fit that criteria. And you've got too many women chasing too many men. So the expectation is way, way, way too high. You can't deal with that. So it's not going to work. So in my business, I have to manage the expectation of somebody who says, oh, Clayton, I've had this invoice for 5.5 years. Please move to Brazil, but can you get my money?
And I guess at that point, I mean, do you turn down, I guess, clients as if to say, actually, we're not going to take on this case because, as you said, you'll be spending your money with us for, I guess, little or no return?
I should answer that question by saying it's all about belief. Now, with us, it's not about the money. You know, whether it's 1,000 or 100,000, the money isn't really that important in terms of what we're going to get from it. It's I take cases on principle. And when I mean principle, I don't take a case just because, and I don't ask my team to take a case just because there's a principle behind it. But I one of the reasons for starting PRMS was that I believe that if Marks and Spencer's is owed money, they've got a team of lawyers working there for them.
Right. Yep.
Right. If Winston and Trevor are owed money, they haven't got a team of lawyers working behind them or working for them, or they don't have an outsourced debt recovery or an outsourced credit control company working for them. They have to fend for themselves. But shouldn't Winston and Trevor be given the same opportunity in order to grow their business to the size of Marks and Spencer's?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's that's what I believe in. That's what our ethic is about. It's about helping businesses to grow and to still be around and seeing people on the street and saying, oh, that guy helped me. He helped me with my business. And the fact is, they know that 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, you can come back to PRMS. And we'll say, yeah, we're remembering. We remembered how we helped you beforehand and so on and so forth. This is what we can do for you this time around.
That's great stuff. Great stuff. So our final kind of introduction question before we get to the knots and crannies. So we know we're coming to the end of the year. What does that look like for you and your team? And what kind of goals are you setting for the end of the year?
December is a quiet year in, or quiet part of the year, I should say, in terms of late payments.
Okay.
Because I used to work many years ago with a chap called Winston Trotman, and he always used to say that September and December, or school holidays, July, August, and December will always be quiet months for recovery. And one of the main reasons for that is if people have to take their children on holiday, and rather than pay your debt, they're going to take their children on holiday.
Yep.
If they have to buy their kid a PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5, whatever it's on at the moment, or they have to basically be in a position to pay your debt, they're going to buy PlayStation 4 and deal with that problem afterwards. So it's always going to be a quiet type of year. But this year, I think we're going to take a slightly different approach in order to reach out to businesses and want them to take on board that we've had a very, very, very heavy year in 2022. A lot's gone on. And the fact is, for businesses, if they want to survive into 2023, they really need to look at where their money's coming from, where it's going to, and actually get procedures in place in order to create a streamlined approach to debt. Because there are too many people in business who think, oh, they'll say to you, I've never had a bad debt. And I would say, congratulations so far, but I guarantee you, by the time you finish in business, you'll have had more than one.
Yeah. Which kind of leads on to the, I guess, the meat of the topic of conversation, really, which is, so let's assume that you are a business, small, medium-sized business. You've got a late payment on file. What should be the first steps a business should take to deal with that late payment? And I guess if you've got more than one, then I guess there's maybe some digging that you might have to do with your own processes and procedures and how that money's being collected. But let's say you've got one late payment. What should be the best way to deal with that? Or what should be your first step to deal with that?
What I would always advise businesses to do is to start from the very beginning.
Mm.
Most businesses and their relationships break down from the start of the contract. So if you say that you're going to supply 100 bottles of rum, so for example, and you then supply 80 bottles of rum to your client, and your client is 20 bottles short, you're not going to get paid the full amount. So is your invoice correct from the beginning? That's the first thing that you need to see. because a lot of people just say, oh, you owe me money and you need to pay me money. And sometimes it can look rather embarrassing, because what you find is that they haven't fully delivered the goods or the services that they were supposed to have delivered in the first place. But the person yeah. who's supposed to pay them doesn't say anything, but then brings it up when somebody like ourselves gets involved. And then it becomes right. a situation. Then they say, oh, you do know that I only got 80 bottles of rum instead of 100. So that's why I haven't paid. But this could be 2 or 3 months later. So that person has had 3 months worth of credit free. Mm. Mm. So you always have to make sure that you've actually done what you sell or you are supposed to have done, and there's no problem. Because if you are a happy customer, you are more likely to basically be in a position to pay. So if you go somewhere and you buy, say, for example, Rachel or Chrissy, you buy a nice pair of shoes, and these shoes are they're just brilliant. They're just fantastic, these shoes. And you bought them and you like them, you're going to hand over the money because you're getting what you paid for.
Absolutely.
If you then buy those shoes, for example, using a credit card, and you get back home and you then realize, hold on, this is not what I paid for, you're going to stop your credit card payment, because those shoes are completely different from the ones you saw in the shop. Mm. So it's a completely different relationship. So that's the first thing I would suggest that people do before you start breaking what is could be a good relationship. Make sure that what you're asking for is what you're actually entitled to.
Absolutely.
Because it saves a lot of embarrassment, because that's the problem. One of the reasons why people don't chase debt, or they don't chase late payments, is because of embarrassment. Embarrassment is everything. That's where somebody like us, that's why we're here, because we can take the embarrassment. Culturally, African and Caribbean people tend not to like shame. Shame is not something that we deal with very well. So therefore, us as a business, we can then basically, we act as a go-between. We're an interface. So that nobody's embarrassed, nobody's in an awkward situation. Everybody gets paid and everybody maintains their relationship.
So can I ask a question, about systems? So obviously, I think you even highlighted this quite briefly before. It's about systems, because you talk about embarrassment, why people don't necessarily chase money. But it's also about, do you think as a community, our businesses, we have the right systems in place to so that people are automatically maybe chasing, so that they don't necessarily have to? Do you know what I mean? What systems do you think should be in place, if any?
And that's a very good point, because in terms of business and in terms of a lot of things in life at the moment, we're living in a golden age. You can start a business with a phone, and you can basically send out invoices, you can make videos, you can call people, you can video call people, you can do a massive amount of things as far as business is concerned. However, with all of that technology being there, you're obviously in a position where you have to do things in a particular way. And I suppose because the technology is there, it also means that people can avoid technology as well. So the fact is, technology can make things simpler, because most there's lots of bookkeeping packages that are out there. So for example, you know, I listed some of them, so I didn't pick anybody out specifically. You know, so you've got Zoho, you've got Xero, you've got Sage, QuickBooks, FreeAgent, ClearBooks, FreshBooks. All of these have invoicing facilities on them.
Yeah.
And all of them, to a certain extent, will remind you if somebody hasn't paid. But the fact is, ultimately, if you're sending out emails to somebody, we get so many emails every day that most people at the end of the day, when they see an email, they're like, oh, whatever. You know, some people have got, 500 unopened emails. You know,
just 500? That's good. 500?
Exactly. But, and that's the reason why ultimately you can send 1,000,001 emails and you can make a certain amount of phone calls. And that's really good, because the technology allows you to do it. I know some debt recovery companies, they literally basically buy a speed dialer. and they just dial people. These are the people that will dial you if your mobile phone bill is late, for example, and it's an automatic voice saying, "Hi, you haven't paid your mobile phone bill," etc. It's an automatic dialer. But the fact is that if I see that number come up a couple of times, I can just block it.
Exactly. we've all got it on our phones now where it detects whether it's spam or it detects whether it's whatever caller that you don't want to speak to, like you said, and it's like your phone will automatically tell you this now. So
exactly. But going back to Chrissy's point, and that point is that once you find yourself in that position of technology will take you so far, because technology will remind you in order to make that call, or technology will remind you that this invoice is 30 days overdue, 60 days overdue, 90 days overdue. And I need to stop at this particular point and say, anybody who's listening, if you've got invoices that are over 90 days overdue, you've got a problem.
Yep. So this may sound like a very obvious question, but can you tell us about the impact late payment can have on a business, especially a small business, and why is it now more than ever do such business kind of have to learn how to chase and get that money or kind of avoid late payments?
Indeed. There was a guy down at Pimlico, Victoria Way, called Charlie Mullins. And Charlie Mullins was an English guy who had a company called Pimlico Plumbers. And he started it when he was a teenager.
I know. I think everyone knows them. You see their bands everywhere.
So he recently sold that for between 100 and 150 million pounds after starting it from the ground. He sold it to an American company. Now, one of the things that Charlie Mullins once said that always resonated with me, he said, most businesses fail because they run out of money. Most businesses fail because they run out of money. One of the reasons why they run out of money is because they don't collect the money that is due to them. And so a lot of businesses, when you go somewhere, and this is a tip for all people who are entrepreneurs and all people who are in a position where they go out to meet people at networking events. When people throw the word turnover around, don't be taken in by it, because your turnover could be 100 million, but your profit could be 10 pence.
Absolutely.
But people get excited by, oh, we're a 2 million pound business or 2 million turnover business. We're a 10 million turnover business. And all of that is great. But next minute you find out when you see him, oh, what happened to that business? Oh, it crashed. Because you spent so much money in terms of turnover, but you didn't actually create enough of a gap between the turnover and the profit. So therefore, these people are in a situation where, going back to, you know, Chrissy's point, more than ever, businesses now have to watch what they spend. Because sometimes what you don't spend is the space that gives you enough to breathe and gives you your profit. Because a lot of businesses, for example, there are a lot of businesses here probably got subscriptions to stuff that they don't use. They might have signed up for something, and they signed up for a subscription to maybe a particular computer package, or they've signed up for a particular type of software. Whatever it is, if you're not using it, get rid of that. Because it's a waste of time. And don't sign up for deals where somebody says to you, oh, you know, you sign up for this deal because such and such and such, and it's a year's contract or whatever. Unless you really want that thing and you're committed to it, don't do it. Because those are the things that basically make it difficult for you to get out of in the long term. And those are the things that ultimately create a problem, you know, in terms of when you're, when you've got late payments problems, you've got no cushion, because you're literally in it up to your neck, because you've got all these other commitments that are needed. So when a person doesn't pay you, you're in this position where you're under pressure, under serious pressure.
I think, as Chrissy kind of said, it seems obvious the link between kind of sales, invoicing, money in, your cash flow, your basically your liquidity. Like as you said, you might be worth 2.5 million, but actually you're not liquid, you're not solvent, the cash is not flowing within your business, and if that is down to, you know, late payments or just no payments at all, just, you know, bad debts, you're going to go out of business very, very quickly.
So because once upon a time the government was all over entrepreneurs. It was like, yeah, you can get this as an entrepreneur. Mm. We're looking for entrepreneurs. We love entrepreneurs. We kiss you, entrepreneurs. We want entrepreneurs. Everything was entrepreneurs. Now, if you see the latest budget statement, it's basically saying that we're going to take a third of your profit.
Yeah.
A third of your profit. How is that going to be any better than working
as an employee?
Exactly, as an employee. What's the difference? Because the whole point is a lot of things and also talking about the government, a lot of businesses think that you always see people on LinkedIn and they're always going, oh, I can't get paid and blah, blah, blah. The government should do something about this.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, hold on. The government didn't tell you to go into business. The government didn't say, listen, boy, I'm going to twist your arm around your back and I'm going to make you go into business. No, you went into business because you wanted to be, in all intents and purposes, rich. You wanted to make money. You wanted to be an entrepreneur. And that is a brilliant thing and it's a beautiful thing. But the problem is, just when you're spending that money, you don't call the government and say, boy, I'm spending a whole heap of money on Cristal champagne. You know, do you want some?
Absolutely not.
Don't do it.
I hope people, listeners, you're listening. I know. I hope my friends are listening. I said to them, you have to listen to this week's show, because I have a bugbear when I'm around, especially some of my friends who are in business by themselves. I'm not going to shade anybody. I'm not going to name any names. You know who you are, and they're very kind of c'est la vie with their invoices. Oh, yeah, this person owes me $3,000. Really? How late? Couple of months late, but she'll pay me. Excuse me? You must be rich or got a money tree in your garden. That's all I can say, because I don't know how does business run like that when it's kind of, yeah, it's okay, she'll pay me. But what's the point of sending an invoice out if you're not going to chase that money?
Because it's the same reason why you would go to a club and buy a whole heap of champagne and then basically be living in your mum's basement. Or you're driving around in a really nice car and ultimately at the end of the day you're living with your mum. You know, I'm not throwing shade at the guys here, but sometimes some of us are guilty of that foolishness. The whole point is culturally, and I'm going to say stuff where people are going to be upset, but if you're upset, you know, you can always contact me and tell me how upset.
We'll pass on your contact details.
No, because I truly believe that at the end of the day, if you carry on in a particular way, you'll get a certain outcome. Yeah. And the reason why sometimes people, there's two reasons why people have a £3,000 or £5,000 invoice and they don't want to tell people. Or they don't want to chase it. The first instance is usually they're perpetrating the idea that 3,000, it doesn't mean anything to me, so I'm not even going to bother to chase it. When it comes in, it doesn't matter to me. Or the fact is that I run my business in such a way that the whole point is it doesn't matter to me if it crashes or not. I haven't got that much of an input into what I do. I just do it. And at the end of the day, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Everybody takes a different perspective. But I think I watched a talk by a gentleman called Eric Collins.
Yes, yes. Yep.
And he did a very interesting talk. And this talk was about saying that most businesses in the UK don't earn more than £25,000.
Mm.
Yeah, wow. Simple as that. Most businesses, the median not even salary, but the median profit, turnover, whatever you want to call it, for most businesses or black businesses in the UK is £25,000. Now, that could be for a number of things. It could be for a number of reasons. But those are the kind of figures that you're dealing with. And the fact is, there are a lot of very talented people, a lot of very skillful people who may be good at one particular thing. And sometimes this happens a lot with creatives, but they're not necessarily very good when it comes to, we need to look at the money here.
Yeah.
The financial side of it. I just want to say, actually, Eric Collins, if you haven't watched The Moneymaker, it should be, it was on Channel 4, so it should be on 4 On Demand or whatever it's called. But yeah, you can rewatch it. Great program, absolutely loved it. So
I agree with that.
Just and if you've seen it again, if you've seen it already, you can watch it again, because I'm sure you'll get some more gems from it. Great, I love that program. So yeah, thank you for referencing and even reminding myself, actually. Great program. My next question is, I'd really like to know your thoughts around early settlement fees and kind of like, you know, if you pay early, you get, you know, 10% off, or okay, if you can't pay the whole invoice or you can't pay the whole debt, you know, what could you pay? Could you pay 70% of it? Does things like that and tactics like that encourage people to pay, or does it more encourage people to wait until things have gone really pear-shaped and then they get to pay less than what the invoice was in the first place?
Okay. Early settlement fees, I think they can work, but I'm not a fan of them, because human beings are weird.
Yes, I agree.
A lot of what we do at PRMS, a lot of it's psychology. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people think debt collection and debt recovery is about physical force or aggression. A lot of it's about psychology.
Mm.
Now, the reason why a Ferrari is a Ferrari or Harrods is Harrods is because you expect to pay top dollar. You expect to pay. When you go into Harrods, I went into Harrods with a friend of mine the other day. I was dragged along. And she was looking at this jacket and she said, "Oh, that jacket's £4,000. But if I go to..." Exactly, that was my reaction. What are you joking? £4,000, but if I go to Turkey, I can get it for £400 as a knockoff. Now... Okay. Now, to me, whether you're paying £4,000 or £400, the point is that by pricing these things at this level, it's basically saying is that if you want this, this is the price that you're going to pay. Mm. And you never or very rarely hear these people offering a discount. Ferraris are never discounted. Rolls Royces are never discounted.
Right,
the price
right.
that you're paying is the price that you're paying.
You should pay.
Now, I can understand in some industries offering discounts might be, if you're selling maybe T-shirts or something like that and you want to keep your cash flow ticking over, offering early settlement discounts can be helpful. Can be helpful. But to me, it encourages bad behavior to a certain extent. It's like, for example, I don't know if you've heard of invoice financing or invoice discounting.
Yes.
You guys may have heard it, obviously you, Chrissy and Rachel, but for some of your listeners who may or may not have heard it, they may think to themselves, as far as they're concerned, this is what they need to do in order to basically get money into their business. Not a problem. Now, the difficulty is if you're giving or you're signing up for invoice financing or invoice discounting, you may be paying 10%. Mm. So if you're paying 10% at the end of the day, are you going to want to give away 10% of every single invoice that you make?
Yes, exactly.
So it depends on the industry, but I would say if you start discounting your prices from the beginning, you run into difficulties. Now, late payments, I think that people should be aware that you charge late payments, and that's what you will be doing, because we've concentrated on debt recovery and almost the credit control aspect of it, but we haven't concentrated on the last part of our service, which is the litigation, which is the turning up at court, which is the issuing proceedings, because that's when things go pear-shaped.
Absolutely, yeah.
So therefore, when I then try to take somebody to court on your behalf, then that's when what I have to do. So yeah. Late payments and a late payment letter is important at that particular point.
Right. So there's pros and cons.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Pros and cons. Right, I've got to cram in this one question before we leave, before we come to the end of this great show. Clayton, what three smart tips do you have for our listeners to collect late payments and without damaging relationships with their clients? Because that's always...
This is what everybody can do in their business, in order to just basically make sure that before they introduce somebody else, they've done everything that they need to do. Number one, make sure you provided the goods or services that you seek payment for. So make sure everything's been done, because the worst thing that you want is a client to come back to you saying, oh, you didn't do this, or you didn't do this, I didn't get this. And it just makes everything a bit tricky. So make sure you've done what you're supposed to have done, number one. Number two, check your invoices, the address, the contact details. Because I've had invoices given to me, and the invoices are from somebody else. Or they're addressed to somebody that used to work there 2 years ago.
Mm.
So when that invoice comes in, people chuck it in the bin. For, oh, that person doesn't work here. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Gone.
And that person keeps writing and writing. Or people write to the wrong address. The people have moved, you know, in the country somewhere, etc., etc. Make sure your contact details are right. Make sure you're dealing with the right person. If it's accounting, find out who the person is in accounting, so you can find that out. And the last one, don't you let yourself get messed about. If you are in a position that it's 90 days and you haven't been paid and you don't have a good excuse, there is a problem. Either you're going to have to end up dealing with it now, or you're going to have to end up getting a call from an insolvency practitioner basically saying that the company that you've given £10,000 worth of services to has gone bust.
Right. Yeah. Oh, dear. No. Can I have one more question, and then we'll collect your details? So I always want to understand, I'm a business, my assistant has said, Christy, we found an invoice from 2001.
Can we chase this?
How far back can we chase an invoice? Just for our listeners, just to be clear, how far back can you go?
No invoices should be chased after 6 years. It's a six-year window. There's what's called a statute of limitations. And anything that's over 6 years, you might as well just put it in the bin. It's all over.
Yeah.
It's all over. Cool. Just, you can forget about that. You'll only see that money in your dreams. You won't see that.
It won't end up in your bank account.
No, it won't end up in your bank account. So, and the fact is, if you've got something that's been outstanding for that long, the firm is probably crashed by now because of COVID. I mean, if they're still going, it really will be a miracle in this industry, because the amount of businesses that crashed during COVID. So, you know, anything over 6 years, forget it. But the thing is, 90 days is your key takeaway from today. 90 days. Any invoice over 90 days.
Does that work the other way around? Can someone come, so nobody can come to you and say, you need to pay me because in 1995 I did your windows and I never got paid?
That's correct. It works both ways. Nobody should be able... The only time that it really becomes an issue is if, for example, if you buy a property is considered an agreement under a seal, which is a completely separate thing, and that's a 12-year. So if your mortgage money on your mortgage, for example, and suppose, for example, you took out a mortgage and it all went a bit pear-shaped, but you ended up owing a mortgage company, say, 20,000, they could have up to 12 years to chase you.
Wow.
So I better throw that in, because in case somebody's got any ideas thinking that they owe a mortgage company X amount of money, that can be 12 years. Obviously, this is purely for advice purposes. You're not necessarily supposed to take it away and think it's
exactly. We are not giving, this is not legal advice, everybody. Please do not come back and say the business mix said, we are not liable.
Exactly. This is just a rule of thumb, just as generally know. But the fact is, if you're messing about with invoices over 6 years, you shouldn't really be doing that. And I think, is at the end of the day, your bookkeeper or accountant should have flagged that up anyway.
I think the thing is, though, some of us, especially with small businesses, we are the accountant.
We are everything.
We are doing the marketing. We are doing the sales. So it's really good to have, I guess, organizations or businesses like yours, which actually give another service that we can kind of use as an arm of our business, as an extension. And if there are listeners out there who are thinking, actually, I really need to speak to Mr. Clayton M. Coke because I've got this issue or I've got this problem or I just need some advice or I'd like him to give me an overview or his team to give me an overview on this situation that we have, how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way for them to get in touch with your organisation?
Okay. The easiest way is to contact me on LinkedIn. So my first name is Clayton, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, middle initial M, and last name is Coke, C-O-K-E, as in the drink. So, I mean, there's two other guys called Clayton Coke, but they ain't good looking, so don't bother with them.
And they probably don't have the M. Do they have the M?
No, I'm only teasing. I mean, I'm sure they're nice guys. I'm sure they're very, very happy and pleasant people. So that's the first place to find it on LinkedIn. You can go to our website, www.prmsltd. That's Papa Romeo Mike Sierra Ltd.co.uk, all one word. And lastly, you can find us on Instagram at PRMSLTD and Twitter, PRMSLTD. And lastly, I wouldn't like to have a nice little plug for our own podcast, which is called the Cashflow Show Podcast, which you can find on www.thecashflowshowpodcast.com, where we do a similar job to Rachel and Chrissy, and we share and speak with business people. So thank you very much.
Lovely. I love it. I love the plugs. It was very smooth. Very impressive.
Yes. Righty. Oh, thank you so much, Clayton. That brings us to the end of another great show. Thank you so much for joining us today. And guys, we hope you found it some information, some gems through the discussion. So please get in touch with them. Get in touch. So, Rachel,
yes,
it's Christine. Done today. Today's done. Another week done.
Another week. It goes so quick, so fast. We're speeding into December, like head first. We're within touching distance. You can't hear me
anymore. I don't want to know.
Grab your hand, Chrissy. It's right there in front of you. Anyway, we will be back next week with another great Business Mix show. But until then, keep it colourful.
Take care. Bye.
The Business Mix Show.
Every beat is back. For your tundra, I be fitter. No need to play games with this.